If you would, please turn to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. My text will be verse 40, but I want to begin reading in verse 37 and read through verse 43. John, chapter 5, verse 37 says, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And ye will not come to Me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. If another shall come in His own name, him ye shall or will receive." Down through the years, I have witnessed to people about Jesus and the salvation which is available through Him. I have shared Bible verse after Bible verse explaining the reason why we need a Savior, what Jesus Christ our Savior has done in our behalf, and how it is we can be forgiven of our sin and have a home in heaven. In my discussions, I have tried to be logical and have offered logical or sound reasoning. And yet the fact remains, very few have responded to the gospel plea. I have preached the gospel from the pulpits of two different churches, spanning a combined 29 plus years, but I have seen little response by the lost who were in attendance. Oh, I've been blessed to see some saved, but there have been more who have exited lost than have been saved. Remarkable, isn't it? You would think that a sinner hearing about his plight and that his destiny is hell would have great concern about his condition. You would think that upon hearing the good news of the gospel, the unsaved would gladly make further inquiry and pursue the truth, all in the hopes of securing eternal life. But it isn't so. The vast majority of lost people remain hardened in their sin, callous toward the future prospect of eternal flames, and stubborn in their cause. I'm amazed at those who attend the services week after week, who know that they are sinners, lost and damned to a devil's hell, who have heard the gospel repeatedly, but have failed to respond. I think to myself, why won't they repent and believe? Why would they risk death before salvation? Yes, I marvel at those who need Jesus, but who refuse to believe on Him and trust Him. Well, may I say, those to whom Jesus ministered were no different. Our text tells us of those who have an interest in spiritual matters, but have not repented and believed. And Jesus tells them point blank, "You will not come to Me that you might have life." They choose not to come. And I have found that many like to talk about man's free will and the supreme choice of man, but how they fail to recognize that, as a preacher once said, "Free will, free won't." Dear lost sinner, why won't you turn to Him? Why won't you believe on Him? In the final analysis, the truth is, you will not come. And that's what we find in verse 40 of our text. You will not come to Me that you might have life. So I want to speak upon this message today out of verse 40. The title is, You Will Not Come. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank You for the day and thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. And we know that many could not be here due to sickness. And Lord, with the great rains that we've had, some are just flooded in. And we ask that You would bless them, comfort them. But we thank You for those who are able to come out today. And we ask that You would bless Your word as it goes forth today, that You would speak it to every heart. We ask in behalf of those that are lost that You would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. And for those of us who, Lord, You've saved, we thank You for the salvation You've given to us. We honor You, we love You, and we pray that everything that's said and done would be to Your glory. And so we ask that this time would be sanctified for You, and we pray it would be to Your praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to think about the message entitled, You Will Not Come. Notice verse 40, "And you will not come to Me that you might have life." Now, the first thing I want to offer to you is the subject of the matter, or the subject of the verse is life. Talking about this matter of life. You don't come to me that you might have life. Now, of course, he's not talking about physical life because those people were already alive. They were standing in his presence. So it's not the issue of, hey, you won't come to me that you might have physical life. That doesn't apply. He's not talking about immortality. It's not the idea of, well, we want to live and just continue to exist. That's not that at all. He's not talking about physical life. He's not talking about immortality. Rather, what he is talking about is eternal life as opposed to eternal death. My friend, I want you to understand that according to the Scriptures, you are immortal. You will exist forever. When you pass from this life, you're going to continue to exist in one place or the other. You're either going to be in heaven with God, or you're going to be in hell and under His wrath and under His judgment. Hell is eternal death. Heaven is eternal life. And so when Jesus speaks to these individuals and He says, you won't come to me that you might have life, He is saying to them, you refuse to come so that you might have eternal life, so that you can spend eternity with me. And so he's talking about eternal life or everlasting life. And by the way, how long does that last? Well, it's eternal. It's everlasting. Every now and then you'll run into somebody that believes that they can lose their salvation. Doesn't make a lot of sense. If it's everlasting life, it's everlasting life. If it's eternal, it's eternal. And so if you're truly saved, you have eternal life. And you shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck you from Jesus' hand. So, we think about this issue of life. When I talk about this life today, I'm talking about eternal life. I have chosen to offer some verses unto you. I'm going to read these to you, a number of them, that use the terms and express the knowledge of eternal life and everlasting life. And by this, we can glean a little bit of information about what this is and how it is received. But bear with me as I just read you some verses in regard to everlasting life and eternal life. The first one is John chapter 10, verse 28. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the final verse, John chapter 6, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Kind of get an idea a little bit about what everlasting life it is. Isn't it a matter of knowing who Jesus Christ is, believing on Him, and it's a response? Let me summarize it this way. This issue of the eternal life, I believe it's a spiritual issue. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God today? You see, when Adam and Eve were made in the garden, they were made upright and they had a perfect relationship with God. But when they sinned against God, that relationship was broken and they became dead spiritually toward God. And, God provided for them, gave them new life, and covered them with skins, and that was representative of the salvation that they received. But the fact is, ever since the fall of man, man has been alienated from God, away from Him with a broken relationship. What happens when you're saved, when God gives you eternal life, is that relationship is restored. The Scripture defines it as being reconciled to God, being put back in the joint, being made right with Him. And eternal life is just not a matter of I exist forever. It's a restoration of the relationship with God. Jesus says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." They're alienated from Him. They won't come so that they could have a relationship with God. So when we talk about eternal life, we talk about something which is spiritual, and it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God in heaven. And of course, as we use that term heaven, it speaks of heaven. All that we think of in regard to heaven and the Scripture description that we have of heaven, that's part of eternal life, isn't it? Those things which we receive. Peter defines it as an inheritance, which is reserved for us, that we're going to receive one of these days. But we saw it was a promise given to us. So it's a spiritual thing with a relationship with God. It's a recognition of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done, and you're made right with God. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and by that you can have forgiveness of your sin, a home in heaven, and again, it's eternal, everlasting. Now you look into our text, our subject is life. Jesus says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Now, what I find in that phrasing is that there is a need for spiritual life. As he talks to these people, he says that you might have life. That tells me they didn't have life. But he says, if you come, you can have it. Does that make sense? So that leads me to the next point of the message. The subject is life. Second point, many do not possess it. Very clearly, verse 40 of our passage, he says, "And you will not come to me that ye might have life." Those people standing before Him were lost. They were on the road to a devil's hell. They were on the broad road which leads to destruction. They needed life. Many people do not possess this life. Back in verse 38, and the indicators of this fact that they do not possess such life is, well, they don't believe in Jesus. Verse 38, "And you have not His word abiding in you, for He whom He has sent, him you believe not." They stood right before Him, and they did not believe Him. They didn't trust who He was. They didn't believe He was the Son of God. Further, they didn't not only believe in Jesus, they didn't even believe God's Word. If you look down in John chapter 5 and look at verse 46, He said unto them, still in the same discussion, He says, "For had you believed Moses," and He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, He says, "Had you believed Moses, you would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe My words?" And so He's talking to a bunch of people who did not believe in Him, and they didn't even believe the Word of God. Still true today, is it not? Those who are lost are those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the Word of God. Proof of this is found in 1 John chapter 5. I invite you to turn over there. 1 John chapter 5. John expresses it this way by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of His Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son of God hath not life." So what does that mean? These people standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, "You will not come to Me that you might have life." Well, we saw it very clear. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. But they will not come. They will not believe. In fact, when they don't believe, they're saying God's a liar, because they don't believe the record that God gave of His Son. So not only is it the fact that they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the Word. And those who are lost, those who do not possess life, do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the Word. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it talks about how that they're spiritually dead. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, let me read to you verse 3. Not only are people that are lost spiritually dead, they're spiritually blinded. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My, how terrible it is. Those people standing before the Lord Jesus Christ did not believe in Him, did not believe in the Word. They were spiritually dead and they were spiritually blinded. They will not believe. And so they will not come to Him. Further, Romans chapter 6 tells us that those that are lost are servants of sin. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, it tells us how that they are children of wrath. And I also would remind you, and I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 2 if you want to turn over there, that those who do not have life, those who are lost, they are held in bondage. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." In other words, we're human beings. In order for us to have eternal life, Jesus had to leave heaven, come to earth, take Himself a human body, so that He can become a sacrifice for sinners. And so, but through the death that He has accomplished on the cross, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, notice, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Those who are dead in trespasses and sin, those who are spiritually blinded, who are servants of sin, children of wrath, are held under bondage. You are enslaved by the devil. Back in John chapter 3 and verse 19, there's another text that a lot of people like to pass over. But in John chapter 3 verse 19, another description of those who do not possess life, those who will not come, is boiled down to the fact in chapter 3 verse 19, they love darkness. John 3:19 says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." If you go back to our passage in John chapter 5, I just submit unto you, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to recognize the biblical description of who you are and why it is you will not believe, why it is you will not repent, why it is you will not come. And you say, "Well, I have my reasons," and we'll discuss those reasons, or I suggest possible reasons for you in just a few moments. But I'd say, you know, the basic reason is you love darkness rather than light. You just won't come. And so we find in the passage the subject of life, and Jesus speaks unto these individuals, and He says, you just don't possess it. You might have life if you would come, but you don't have it right now because you haven't come. And so I would submit unto you in that same phrasing. My third point of the message here in verse 40 is, life is possible through Christ. I've already indicated that, and the Scriptures have told us that. But isn't it good news to the lost sinner that life is possible through Jesus Christ? He says, "You will not come to Me that you might have life." I submit unto you today, if you're lost, you're undone, you have not come to Christ yet, you need to learn of Him. Back up to verse 39, just that verse prior to our text. He tells them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." You need to learn of Jesus Christ. When I talk to individuals who are lost and they don't have much Bible understanding, I commend them to read the book of John over and over and over and over, because the book of John expresses Jesus Christ very clearly and His divinity, that in fact He is the Son of God. And so someone that is illiterate of the Scripture, doesn't understand anything about Jesus Christ, I'll tell them, you need to learn about Him. Read the Gospel of John. Read it once, read it twice, read it again and again, and then read all four Gospels, and just expand in your knowledge. But you need to learn about Jesus Christ. And He stood there and told them, "Search the Scriptures. Learn about Me." And we've already mentioned this text, but if you look back into verse 24, not only do you need to learn about Him, you need to hear and believe. This verse is very clear. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said to them, He says, "I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I submit unto you today, my friend, if you're away from God, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You will not come. You need to hear of Christ. You need to know about Him. You need to learn of Him. and you need to respond to Him. Hear and believe. And I want to make it very clear unto you, as I normally do when I talk about the matter of salvation, deliverance from sin is only found in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, it is written, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one. And so, sinner friend, today, if you want to be saved, there's only one access to God in heaven, and that access is Jesus Christ. There is no other hope. There is no other way. So I encourage you, turn to Him. He is offering to you to come to Him. Why won't you come? Why won't you turn? He says to these people, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so we talk about life and how that many do not possess that life. But the good news is that life is possible through Jesus Christ. My fourth point and the last point of the message is this. Sadly it is, most will not come. He says clearly in the passage. And I know that's abrasive. I know this isn't a popular message. But He says to these people, you will not come. Now, I'm going to offer you some reasons why perhaps you will not come. But before I do, I want to talk just a moment about this salvation which Jesus offers. Four things. One, it is available. Two, it's accessible. Three, it requires action. And four, it's required, or rejected rather. And so let me offer you unto these things. I'm so glad He says that you might have life. That tells me that salvation is available. Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to secure my salvation, to secure your salvation. Jesus Christ has done everything that was necessary. He met the legal demands of the law. He was crucified on a cross as a sinner, though He never sinned. The Scripture says in Isaiah that God looked down, saw the travail of His soul, and was satisfied. Jesus Christ bore the sins of many as He hung there on the cross. Everything that is necessary for me to have eternal life was done by Jesus Christ. So salvation is available. But aren't you glad that not only is it available, but it's accessible? See, even in our society, there are things that are available, but you can't access it. But this salvation of which I speak about today, the eternal life that you can have through Jesus Christ, a restored relationship with God. My friends, not only is it available, but it's accessible. As He stands before these people, He says, you won't come to me that you might have it. I provided it. You can have it. Would you come? And so I submit unto you that salvation is available. It is accessible. You, my dear friend, if you're lost, can be saved today. That's great news, isn't it? That's grand news. And, testimony to that fact is that many of us are saved. We've already accessed that. We do have eternal life. But let me point on to that third issue. It is available, it is accessible, but it requires action. Jesus says, you will not come to me. What you need to do, dear sinner friend, is to recognize Jesus Christ, your only hope for salvation, and you turn to Christ. You submit to Him. You bow your knee to Him. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you believe the Word? Will you respond? You see, it requires action. I've talked to many who knew the truth. I showed them the Scriptures. They knew they were sinners. They knew that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And I gave them all the information they needed to make a good decision. And yet they would not choose to come to Christ. They would not repent. They would not be saved. They wouldn't come. It requires action. And I realize the work that God does in us is by grace through faith, and it's by the working of His Holy Spirit. But if you don't repent and believe, you will not be saved. Aren't you glad that salvation is available? Aren't you glad that salvation is accessible? And aren't you glad that God worked in your life where you've drawn to Him and you've been saved? And sinner, you can be saved today. Would you come to Christ? But of course, when we talk about this issue of salvation, we know that it's rejected. People will not believe. They will turn a deaf ear. They won't repent. They go their merry way. You might be like that today. And Jesus might be saying, you will not come. You've rejected the offer. I submit unto you then, under this last point, and the fact that most will not come, why won't you come? I'm going to offer you six possible suggestions on why you will not come, and then I will give a brief conclusion. Number one, you will not come because you don't accept your depravity. In other words, you won't admit that you're a sinner. Sometimes I'll run into people and I'll talk to them about the need for a Savior, and they'll say, I have done nothing wrong. I met a lady across the street. She lived right across from this house. She's moved years ago, but she used to live over there. And I met her at the mailbox one day and engaged in conversation with her. And she just said, well, I've never sinned. I'm not a sinner. And I said, if I showed you in black and white the fact that you're a sinner, would you believe it? And she said, no, I would not. Well, what can you do with an individual like that? There's nothing I can do. She would not come to Christ because she doesn't think there's a need to come to Christ because she hasn't done anything wrong. I'm not a sinner. Along this line, some people don't think they're a bad enough sinner. And so they say, well, I've sinned, I've done wrong, but I haven't done anything really that bad. And because of that, they will not seek after God. They will not come to Christ. And perhaps you're like that here today. Perhaps you're still lost and dead in your trespasses and sins because you think that you just haven't been bad enough. That there's no judgment that rests upon you. You think that maybe you even think that, well, I haven't really done anything wrong. I've made mistakes, but they're not sins. And my friend, that will keep you from God if you hold that perception. Jesus stands and says to them, you will not come. Secondly, maybe you don't come because you don't believe there's a future judgment. I've met those individuals, they don't believe hell exists. God would never do that. God's a loving God. God will never punish anybody. My friend, you better read the Scripture again. There's a broad road which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, the Scripture says. Me and my brother talked to a fellow outside of a bar many, many years ago. It was about midnight, and he came out of the bar. We were witnessing to him. And we tried to tell him about Jesus and why he needed to be saved. And I remember he says, I want to go to hell and party down with my friends. He just didn't believe it, did he? Because if he really believed it, he wouldn't have that perspective. He did not believe there was a future judgment. If you don't think you're sick, you're not going to go to a doctor. If you don't know that you're an alcoholic, you're not going to get help. If you don't know that you're drug addicted, you're not going to get the required help that you need. You're not going to do it. You know why? Because there's nothing wrong with you. Everybody else has that problem. I don't. And my friend, when you're lost and you're undone, you might have that issue of, well, I don't think hell exists. There's really not a judgment out there. There's nothing wrong with me, and I don't have to worry about anything. You don't think there's any judgment, so you're not going to respond. Many people believe that. They believe once this life is over, it's just poof, you're done away with, you're annihilated. Not so, my friend. Not so. Why won't you come? Thirdly, perhaps you won't come because you don't think it is the only way. Now, that's a very common perception in our society. They'll say, well, you know, you Christians, you just think Christ is the only way, and there are many other ways. No, there is not. I've already offered you three verses that said that Christ was the only way for eternal life. But the common phrase is, well, there are many roads that lead to God. Just as long as you're sincere. I don't care how sincere you are. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And you can be sincerely wrong and die and go to hell forever. Jesus Christ is the only way. You just don't think that it's the only way. And so you say, well, I'll do it my way. And I've run into people like that. Well, you try to point them to Jesus Christ. They say, well, I'll go my way. I'll do it on my terms. There's not your terms. This is God's terms. And why won't you come? I'll do it my way. One of Frank Sinatra kind of sang along about that line, didn't he? I'll do it my way. I did it my way and all that. Well, I'll tell you, my friend, you do it your way, you're going to be lost forever in hell. Jesus Christ is your only hope. Why won't you come? Why won't you come? Number four, maybe it's because you don't have just an inward desire to respond. And this may be part of it. You just ask the question, why should I? Maybe it's because you don't believe in the judgment. Maybe it's because you don't see yourself a sinner, but there's just really no desire there. There's no need. And how sad that is if you're lost, you're undone, you're under the wrath and judgment of God, and you can't sense that. Oh, how heartbreaking that is. I pray that God would grant you a desire. God would work in your heart and convict you of your sin and draw you into unto Himself, that you would have a desire to seek after God. You will not come. You say, "Why should I? I just don't have any desire to do so." Maybe that's the reason. But then I submit number five, perhaps it's because you don't wish to surrender your perceived authority. By that I mean this. It's my life. I'll do what I want. You know, when you repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you recognize Him as the God of the universe and He's the only Savior and you surrender to Him. He's just not a fire escape from hell. Jesus Christ is Lord. And some people won't come because they say, "Well, if I get saved," this is how they phrase it, "if I get saved, I'll have to quit this. And if I get saved, I'll have to quit that. And if I get saved, I have to change my friends." And they know that all that stuff is wrong, and so they don't want to be saved. You know why? Because they don't want to submit to God. They don't want to surrender what they think is their authority. It's my life. I can do with what I want. You can do it if you want, but my friend, if you don't bow the knee to Jesus Christ, you'll drop off into hell. You will not come because you say, "I'll do it my way. It's my life. It's my choice. I want to keep on sinning." Do it if you wish. But I'll tell you, my friend, you need to surrender to Jesus. You need to bow your knee to Him. You need to call upon Him. Ask Him into your heart to save you, to give you eternal life, and to change your life. Ask Him for grace to put away those sins. Will you do it? You say, "I don't have a desire to do it. It's my life. I'll do what I want." Then that may be a reason why you won't come to Him. The last one that I submit unto you, perhaps the reason why you won't come to Him, is because you just really don't believe in God to begin with. You don't believe what God has said, and you don't believe in God. Not much I can do about that. If you say, "I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God," the only thing I can do is point you to the Scriptures and point you to the evidence that you see in the creation and pray that God would open up your heart and your mind and give you spiritual sight, because if you don't believe in God or you don't believe what God has said, you'll never come to Christ. And you're not going to have a desire to come to Christ because you don't think there's a need to come to Christ. And there may be varied reasons behind all that. We look into the passage and Jesus speaks of these individuals who stood before Him lost and condemned. And He says, "You will not come to Me that you might have life." In conclusion, I submit unto you that sinners are in need of a Savior. And perhaps you're like that today. Come to the church on a regular basis. You hear the gospel week after week. You're lost, you're undone, you're a sinner, doomed and damned to a devil's hell. You are like that today. Sinners are in need of the Savior. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is the good news, and that fact is that eternal life is through Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again from the dead on the third day. He made it possible for us to be saved. And so I submit unto you, you can be saved today. If you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon His name and trusting in Him, you can have eternal life. You can be forgiven. I submit unto you that Jesus is saying, "Come unto Me." In fact, His words are found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest. You who come here on a regular basis, hear the Word of God, still sit there lost. Why won't you come? Jesus is saying, "Come, come to Me." Fact is, you just won't do it. Therefore, I submit unto you that Jesus' words will echo in your ears. You will not come to Me that you might have life. Sinner, I point you to Jesus today that you might be saved. Christian, you ought to rejoice in the salvation you have. And you ought to thank God for His grace and His mercy working in your life that you do have eternal life. And that time in the past, at some point there, God brought you to Himself and you turned to Christ and you came to Him and you were saved. And my, what a difference He made in your life. He's changed you forever, hasn't He? And He's going to give you eternal life. I mean, you're going to inherit heaven one of these days. But sinner, you're lost. Why won't you come? Why do you put it off? What's your reasoning? What's your excuse? I've offered you some. Perhaps you have some more. I don't know. But I'll tell you, without Christ, you'll die forever in hell. That's eternal death. Oh, that you might be saved. Would you respond to the call of God in your heart and repent and believe on Jesus today? I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this. That right where you stand, if you can see who Jesus Christ is, recognize Him as the Savior, repent, believe on Him, call upon Him that you might be saved, you can do it right there. You don't have to come and walk this aisle. You don't have to repeat a prayer after me. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. Will you believe the message? Will you believe the Bible? Will you believe in God? Will you repent and trust in Christ? You can be saved. Life is available. Would you turn to Christ today? Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. I pray that you'd work it in every heart by your Spirit. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved today. Lord, just may this be for your honor and for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?